15 to 21 this morning. So before we read, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we take time right now to quiet our hearts. Father, to truly give you our heart. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would work, Father, in us. Lord, I pray against hard hearts, calloused hearts. Father, foolishness. Father, we pray that as we look through your word, we'd be wise, and Father, that we would understand what it means to be filled. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that your spirit would move here. I know we have the kids in the service, and for this time, I pray that you'd speak to their hearts as well. Lord, you're certainly not beyond that. And I ask, Lord, against the enemy, and we together just agree, Lord, that you alone would have control of this service, Father, and truly fill this time. Continue to do that, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 21. If you have your Bibles, and if you don't have a Bible, talk to me, and we can talk and hook you up with one. If you have a Bible, please bring it. I know we have the PowerPoint, but please start bringing your Bibles. And I ask you now to turn in them, if you did bring them this morning, and we'll read together. Chapter 5, 15 to 21. It says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." It's important. Now, when we're doing a sermon series, it can be difficult to preach on different aspects of something, in this case, the Holy Spirit. And I want to be careful that as we look at Ephesians here, I give you at least the 10-set version of what the book of Ephesians is on. So the theme of Ephesians, if you didn't know, is really a reminder. Paul, the author, is reminding the church of their spiritual blessings in Christ. In Ephesians 1:3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." So he's talking about this spiritual blessing, and that's the purpose of the book of Ephesians, is to show them this, to remind them this. And then he gets practical in the last half of the book, Ephesians 4:1, is kind of a main text for the book. He says, his prayers that they walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So one, to be reminded of this blessing, and two, to walk worthy of that. So this morning, this text fits right along with that theme, and it's important that we know that to start. I think that'll help you even understand what it means here to be filled with the Spirit. If we look at back up when we read verses 15 to 21, but if you look at verses 1 to 21, even that beginning section of chapter 5, there's a couple things in there that stand out. One is that the idea of walk. You'll see off the bat, he tells us to walk in love. Halfway through, we see this idea of walk in the light. And then lastly, right before he talks about being filled with the Spirit, he tells us to walk in wisdom. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." So to be filled with the Spirit is to walk. What he's talking about very plainly and clearly is a spiritual walk. That's what it means to be filled. Now, some of us maybe think, when we think of fill, this is hard to get our minds around. We think of kind of fueling up, running dry, and needing a top-up. Maybe you think of the Extra Foods gas station. You know, you're running low, and you got to fill up, and then maybe you're tired yourself, and they've got, I think it's, is it two Red Bulls or two Monster drinks for $5 or something like that? So you can fill up, and you can get your Red Bulls, and you can fill yourself up too. And then when you crash physically, or maybe your vehicle, you come back, you get fixed up, you come back and fuel up again. And maybe it's this idea for the Christian life that you need kind of that Red Bull, being filled with the Spirit. Okay, yeah, it's a walk, but it's a big experience. I want to again show you clearly that what Paul is saying here is he's talking about, he's not talking about that. He's talking about a walk. And the literal translation of this verb could be said this way, be being kept filled. Okay, be being kept filled. And the idea is keeping a constant filling. Okay, it's continual. It's not the go to Extra Foods, get topped up, get your Red Bulls and go. This is a continual filling. Also with this comes the idea that this filling is not just, it's so far from anything that the world would understand of a continual keep trying. This is a domination or control of the Spirit. It's kind of like a sailship, and the wind comes, and it dominates that sailship. It directs it where it's going to go. We had my kids, of course, the snow was finally gone, and we went out to the swamp looking for frogs. We still haven't found one, but we know that they're around. But Dad was really good at finding a can, because you know me, I like to collect cans. And so I found a can, and my boy went to throw me the can, and to my horror, the wind took it and put it in where we were at. This swamp had quite a current. Maybe that's why there's no frogs. And the can went into the current and went away, and the kids had fun intercepting this can. And I thought, you know what, that's very similar to being filled even with the Spirit, is the idea this can, we knew not to go upstream. We knew full well where the can was going. I mean, it might have got caught up or whatever, and in fact it did, and that's why they were able to get it back for me. Praise the Lord. But the idea, I've never seen a can going downstream and stop and start resisting the stream and start heading upstream. And I'm an expert at these things. And so the idea of walking with the Lord is being dominated by the Spirit. Okay? We get different ideas of this, even in our language. I think we can understand this. We talk about people being full, and the Scriptures talk about this, being full of joy, full of sorrow, maybe full of rage. And what happens when those things happen, we know what it means, right? You're so consumed with sorrow, it overtakes you. So to be full of the Spirit is very clearly to be controlled by the Spirit. So before we kind of look into, I guess, practical ways of what does this mean for us then this morning, you're telling me it's control, it's a walk, a continual thing. Paul very clearly gives us a ton of warnings through particularly chapter 5 here. And if you look at these warnings, it's the idea that if you're going to go this way, then be warned. Ephesians 5:15, the first part says, look carefully then how you walk. He's not saying be careful and make sure that you walk. Everybody walks. He's saying clearly here, be careful then how you walk. If you're going to be filled with the Spirit, then be careful. Heed these warnings. Grown up for me, and some of you again are tired of hearing these illustrations, but I'll keep using them because I can, so I will. Grew up hunting, and with Dad, this idea of walking is very important. I learned this right away in the woods. Now, if you're particularly not just in the woods, but hunting, the idea of how to step, you know, heel kind of to toe, roll your foot, look out for leaves and branches. But then the idea, too, of just being in the woods. You know, Dad taught me a lot about what you could eat and what you couldn't eat, looking out for thistles and wasp nests, those the ones in the ground and just above the ground, and animals and the rest of it, and just quite frankly not to get lost. See, if you're in the woods, then this is the idea that you can't just go tromping around. It's important, there's got to be a warning. If you're going to go walking in the woods, you can't just go tromping around. I don't send my kids off in the woods and say, I used to do it. Go off into the woods. Go in the back 40. Back behind Jesse's place, there's Crown Land. Go for it. You can't go tromping in the woods. Why? Because it's the woods. It's dangerous. Ephesians 15, verse 5, or sorry, chapter 5, verse 15. He says, look carefully then how you walk. Then, look carefully then how you walk. He's referring to these warnings. He goes back previously in the first one, and this is the most important warning of them all. And you need to hear this or else nothing else is going to make sense this morning. He says, look carefully then how you walk. And he's talking about what he just finished speaking on. If you look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 19, He reminds them very clearly of what reality is, if you want to call it the woods, what reality is in life and in their life. And he lists a bunch of things there. And he talks about how they walked in the futility of their minds, darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, ignorant, hard-hearted, calloused. And what he's talking about here is a life without Christ. He says, be careful how you walk, because remember, this is the truth of what it is to be without Christ. And back to Ephesians 5, 7 to 8. He says then, therefore, do not be partakers, or you could say participants, with them. And here's why. He says, for at one time, there was a time, at one time you were darkness. But now you are light. Why? In the Lord. Walk as children of light. Again, it's really important to see this. He never says, be careful not to be participants so that you'll be part of the light. He says, no. He says, remember who you are. You came out of darkness. Be careful that you're not participants with them, because that's not who you are. You came out of that. You're light. We don't walk in the darkness. It's not who you are. And this is very clearly that idea of riches in Christ. This is why I'm going to keep preaching on this until I'm no longer allowed to preach. This is the riches of Christ is the gospel. Paul tells them, I mean, it's so beautiful, because he says, be careful how you walk. Remember where you came from. Why? Because where you came from was death and darkness, and there was zero hope of getting out of it. You were lost. You were calloused. You were hard-hearted. You didn't get it. Right? But he says, remember that, because who got you out of that? The riches of Christ is that Christ gets you out of darkness. You don't get yourself out of darkness. This is the beauty of the gospel. God himself gets you out of darkness. He's the one that gives you his eyes so that you can see. Out of the darkness so you can see the light. Sin, death, he became sin for us. He died for us. Saved you from hell. It's his light, his death, his life. This is a beautiful hope that we have. The idea then would be maybe to go back to the illustration of the woods. You're still with your father, but you're still in the woods. Once you come to Christ and you come out of darkness, you're still in the woods. As verse 16 says, the days are still evil. So this is why Paul says very clearly, be careful. He says, be careful. Chapter 5, verse 6, to go back again. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words. And we see this all the time. I think sometimes we get callous to hearing what I've just shared with you. It makes me terrified to think that we could be talking about spiritual darkness, about hell, about the fact that there is absolutely zero hope that, of any of us getting out of it except through Christ, an understanding of Christ and a trust in him. And then to become calloused or even deceived. And he says here, let no one deceive you with empty words. Maybe you've heard before people say, and I've heard this so many times, and even if they find out that I'm a pastor, not just a born-again believer, but you're just following a bunch of rules. I mean, the Christian life, honestly, and some of us as Christians, we've been deceived by this. We think it's just a burden. The Christian life is a bunch of do's and don'ts, and it's maybe even an attempt to find favor with God. And I want to tell you plainly, that's empty. God gets you out of darkness. Remember, God gets you out of darkness into the light, not the rules. It's not a burden. We follow rules because we love our God, because he's got us out of darkness. We're part of the light now. Maybe you struggle with this as a Christian. And maybe this is the temptation of those around you. See what you can get away with. You know, we kind of dabble that line. That's our temptation, isn't it? We love the things of the flesh. We love the world, and we want to dabble in that. Ephesians 5, verse 3. These are empty. It says this, but sexual immorality and all impurity, covetousness, must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Ephesians 5:11. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, So not even let them be named, take absolutely no part. And it's empty to feel this way and to be drawn to these things is because we are part of the light and we love the light and we don't dabble in the light or dabble in the darkness. It's not who we are. So again, I want to just finish with reading these warnings. If you look 15 to 17, he says, "Look carefully then how you walk. Remember where you came from. Know the truth about the darkness and that you came out of that. Don't be distracted with empty words." And then he says, he goes on with the warning. He says, "Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So I know we've breezed through this, but if you're thinking this morning, "All right, Kyle, I get that. I understand what it means to be born again. And I am born again. I trust in Christ. I'm out of the darkness. I want to be filled by the Spirit." Even say, I'm ready to this idea of being controlled by God, led by Him. You're probably not thinking of a run. You're probably not thinking of a walk. You're probably thinking of a run. And the reason is because, quite honestly, to talk about walking with the Lord or just quite frankly walking can be quite boring, right? I mean, how many of us really like to walk? If you watch the Olympics, I think there's speed walking they have, which is absolutely ridiculous. I knew a guy actually, though, that was like, I don't know if he was professional, but he was like right up there with speed walking, maybe because there's only like 8 guys that actually attempt to do that. But typically what's watched in the Olympics is the 10-second sprint, right? We got the walking path now. It's finally nice enough to go walking on the walking path. And you don't see many people, and I was thinking about this through the week. I thought, you know, you don't see many people, including myself, I've never had the urge of pulling over and cheering someone on as they walk. But if they had a puppy that maybe was wounded and they were walking and they were fending off a bunch of dogs, maybe we'd cheer, right? That's a little bit more exciting, right? On the walking path, could happen. Or maybe, actually, with all the deer around, maybe it'd be a fawn. Someone's carrying a baby fawn. It could happen. Dogs are chasing them. We get excited about that. That would probably make the front page of the paper, but not walking, right? Walking is kind of boring. Well, I think sometimes we think of this with our spiritual life. We say, "I want to be filled with Spirit. Kyle, I'm ready to walk with God." But really, the only things we're thinking of, and I struggle with this, is those times of power. Maybe that I would witness a healing, be part of someone being healed, be involved in intense spiritual warfare. Maybe it's moments of witnessing, those moments of courage, right? Those moments of power. Now, not speaking against those moments of power. Those can happen. You walk the walking path. There could be a fawn that's wounded today. You may have to save it and fend off dogs. Okay? But that's not the point. If you read your Bible this morning, if you got up early, let's say, as an illustration, and you weren't controlled by sleep, and you woke up early, we're probably not going to have you up this morning on stage and praising you for it and making a big deal about it. But if you woke up early and weren't controlled by sleep and controlled by the desire to seek God and know God and read the Word, then you're being filled with the Spirit. And that is tremendous. You see, but it's not always those big moments of power. This is the tough work, the disciplined work, of being filled with the Spirit. It's that continual yielding moment by moment, leading by the Spirit. It's a continual walk. And it's awesome, but it's a walk and it's continual. Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." It's interesting to me because the flesh isn't just those moments of big temptation. You know, walk by the Spirit and then you'll be ready not to give in to the flesh. The flesh is always there. It's a continual walking by the Spirit and not by our own desires. Now we've read, I need to make this clear as well. We've read, and maybe you've come across this, and I'm going to just look at 2 examples in the book of Acts. We read about people who walk by the Spirit. Acts 11, verse 24, we hear about Barnabas. It says, "For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith." Acts 6:5 talks about Stephen. Okay, Stephen did these miracles, these wonders. It also says that he was a man full of the Spirit. And it's clear in this that it wasn't because of those miracles, but it was marked by a life controlled by God. Now, if you understand that, and maybe today you're thinking, I'm going to pray to be filled by the Spirit. I want to be like Stephen. And maybe you're praying, God, I want more of you. I want to be like Stephen. I want to be filled. I want to just caution you in this. I'm not saying that's not a good prayer, but I just want to caution to make sure that we understand what filling is. In Colossians 2, 9 to 10, in no way do never think that you don't have, you've only got this much of God, and again, you need the fuel tank filled so you actually, seriously, have more of God. Colossians 2, 9 to 10 says, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been given, you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. So if you're saying, I want more of God, I want to be filled, I want to be like Stephen, you have the fullness of deity living in you, you have all of the Holy Spirit, all of God, it's the idea that you're going to be controlled by this God, like Stephen was. I want to give the last warning then too is this, to walk sober. This walk is a sober walk. That brings us to our favorite verse, which led us to this passage. Verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, I think it's an interesting analogy that he uses. Maybe we could say this. I mean, you hear all the terms. They got drunk out of their mind. If we had an important business meeting, say we got these decisions to make for the church, one of the guys came in drunk to the meeting, I tell you what, we wouldn't be rejoicing saying, oh, good, I'm so glad you're drunk. Because we've got a lot of big decisions to make. This is going to be really helpful. Now we can get the job done, right? Ridiculous, right? The idea of being drunk is that it leads you somewhere and you're out of your mind. You know, even drunk out of your mind. You do things you would never do, but you're out of your mind. You maybe don't even remember what was going on. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by God, but yet sober and sound. If someone says to you, I'm filled with the Spirit, but they're out of their mind, they're not making any sense, they're not filled with the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we have the mind of Christ. If someone comes to know Jesus Christ, they understand salvation, they are more in their right mind than they ever have been. They are more sane at that moment than they ever have been. They have not lost their sanity. They, in fact, see things clearer than ever before. If someone says to you, God spoke to me. God spoke to me and he's filled me. And it doesn't agree with Scripture, then they're not filled. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ, this is kind of a complementary passage to Ephesians 5. This is one you can highlight and write down in understanding what it means to be filled. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, and then you see the comparisons are very similar to what happens after. Admonishing one another with all wisdom, and then you get the singing, the thankfulness to God. So if someone says to you, and this one I really want you to... I've been wanting to say this for a while. And it goes along with this as well. If someone says to you, they saw something supernatural. You know, it's one thing feelings. We tend to just take feelings and just say, oh, it must be. And I hope you see there's a warning here. Let the word of God dwell in richly. If someone says they not only feel something, but they saw something. And in fact, you can prove that it is supernatural. Okay? And let's even go to an extreme example just to help. Someone goes to a medium, and they say, this medium told me something, and there's no way they could know that. It's supernatural. Yes, you're right. It's absolutely supernatural. But whether it's a medium in extreme, or something happens in your life that is supernatural, and we serve a supernatural God, unless it agrees with Scripture and brings glory to Christ, it is not a filling. And you need to know this. We tend to agree with these things, but then when you experience something supernatural, we throw it out the window because it's so powerful and so vivid and unreal And we say it must be therefore from God. And then we sometimes put in circumstances and say therefore. Be very careful with that. I am definitely not saying that God does not speak supernaturally. That would be insanity to say that. But I'm telling you to test it. Does it agree with Scripture? Does it bring glory to Christ? If not, it is not a filling. And you can speak against a supernatural event, and you can speak against feelings. It's not what it means to be filled. Maybe ask this question then, with these warnings, and now we'll maybe try to put some wheels to this. Are you filled today? Maybe one way of figuring this out is to ask your kids, am I filled? Now, they probably wouldn't understand if you asked them that way, so ask them, what controls dad? What controls dad? Or maybe mom's. What controls me? Ask your kids that. And that's a sobering question to ask. That sometimes gives light to ask. Ask your spouse. And maybe even not that, you can go further and ask your coworkers or your friends. What controls you? Is it the Spirit of God they see that fills your life? What controls you? So this is what it looks like. It's not do these things and therefore. This is what being filled looks like. Ephesians 5, 19 and 21, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, I want to be really clear in this, and I mean, I read that quickly, but we've already read it. Being filled is not singing more in church. In fact, if you're not a singer, I grew up in a home that we never sang other than church. I don't remember really ever singing with my dad. That would be really awkward. Julie is smiling now because that would just be maybe weird. This is not, being filled is not sing more. Sing more in church, sing more at home. It's not think positive. You saw here it says giving thanks always. This isn't about positive thinking. It's not about getting along with others, submitting to others. It's not, this isn't what it's talking about. The world gets that. The world does that. They try to do that. And it's empty. Being filled as a believer is infinitely more than that. And if you notice here, and sometimes you read it quickly and it's missed, if you are filled, then you sing. Why? It says here, if you sing to the Lord with your heart. We sing, whether it's in the vehicle, whether it is at home, whether it's at church. We sing, and the song of our heart, it comes out. We can't help rejoicing and worshiping our God is because we know this God. We love our Lord. We give thanks always. Why? We give thanks always for everything to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks because I know the gospel. I mean, if there's any time to be thankful for something, that's it. This is far different than just positive thinking. Positive thinking just leads to hell. This is thanks in who Christ is. We submit to one another. Why? Well, this isn't just about being nice to each other. It's submitting to one another out of a fear for Christ. So, again, back to the walking path. It's very easy to skip that, though. It's very easy to skip, I want to know God more. I want to dig into His Word. I want to seek Him. I want everything about my life to be controlled by God. It's very tempting, instead, to just look at other Christians, to maybe go to the walking path and just look at other walkers and try to be like the walking path people. It will be very frustrating, especially in Rocky Mountain House. They dress very differently, everybody. We have different styles all over the place. I grew a handlebar mustache for hunting 1 year. Julie was horrified. I went outside. Who's the first person I met at the grocery store? A man with rubber boots and a handlebar mustache. I was like, I love Rocky Mountain House. The temptation is that, yeah, I'm going to walk, but you just look at walkers, and you just want to look like the people on the walking path. I should be positive. I should be more thankful. I should be these things. No. Why are you walking? What does it mean to walk? Who's given you the ability to walk? God is the one that makes you born again. If you submit to Him, that's the heart of it. That's what I always call the foundation. Otherwise, the Christian life is not the Christian life. You don't look Christian. Just try to look Christian. We look Christian. We look like Christ because we are like Christ. We're Christians. We know our Lord. We know the gospel. And we fear Christ. And we're continuing to go that way. We want more of that. So, and Paul says this. He says, and to close in this then, if you're a believer in Christ, remember where you came from. People get tired sometimes of me preaching the gospel from the pulpit. Oh, here you go, Kyle, again. You're talking about maybe hell, heaven, Jesus dying. You know, you cannot ever leave the gospel. You can never, ever forget it. You don't move on from it. And Paul says, remember where you came from. And if you see in verse 14, he said, you woke up. You came out of darkness. And for a lot of us Christians, we need to wake up again. Did we really truly come out of darkness when we were born again? Because if we did, a lot of us, to be filled, we need to wake up again. We need to walk in the light. He says, do not forget where you came from. You didn't get life to get into heaven. You came out of darkness. And he says, wake up because, verse 16, the days are still evil. We're not with the Lord yet. Another question to ask yourself, are you willing to walk then as a Christian? Are you willing to walk with the Lord? Or are you just waiting for those huge moments? I'm just looking for that baby deer on the path that needs to be saved. Are you willing to actually walk? Are you willing to give that control over to God? So the question then would be again, what controls you? And do not ever think that I have arrived, that I'm preaching this because Pastor Kyle, man, he's been, you know, a believer since he was 8. He gets it. Total control to the Lord. You talk to him if you want to figure this out. Not at all. I'm asking myself the same question today. What controls me? What will control you tonight? What controlled you this morning? When you have decisions to make, what is going to control you? Is it looking for supernatural things? Is it feelings? What will control you? Is it your God? God, what have you said? Is it going to the Word of God then? When you need wisdom, the use of your time. Paul mentioned these things. How you use your time. What controls you? These are great questions to ask. No one needs to leave here thinking, oh my goodness, he was so hard on us. This is exactly what the Word of God has said. This is what it's about, and it's a beautiful thing. Think about the undeserved privilege of the gospel. None of us deserve to get taken out of darkness. It consumes us. It's who we are without Christ. We're without hope. We're lost. But that God takes us out of darkness. This is unbelievable that we have a chance then not only to know our God and to be saved, to be born again, but then to walk with Him. To walk with Him, to be controlled by the God of the universe. This is unbelievable. It is embarrassing for me to think the things that control my life and the times where I blatantly say, no, I'm doing this instead. And I'm controlled by whatever it is. The only thing better than this, and Paul says it, the only thing better than knowing God and walking full of the Spirit is walking it with other believers. I'm only starting to get this with Paul. I never understood this. I would read this as a kid, and Paul would keep saying, like, you complete me, my joy. My joy is in you. And I thought, how? I don't get it. And I just looked at it. I've got this personal relationship. It's just me alone with God. And yes, that is, there's truth to that. But I'm only starting to understand what it means to walk filled in the Spirit with other believers. There is no joy like it on earth. I love hunting. I can only talk hunting with you so long, and I'm done. It's over. But to talk about the Lord with other believers and to be filled with other believers, like what we talked about, worshiping with other brothers and sisters, giving thanks to the Lord, there is absolutely nothing greater in this world. Pulled out of darkness, to walk together in the light, to be filled with the Spirit, and that gives me goosebumps. This is unbelievable. And he says, lastly, and this is a bit of a transition to a whole other sermon, but he says, submit and serve each other. And this is the other thing. There's no more beautiful thing than this. And it is hard to challenge each other in this. Brother, are you still walking with the Lord? Brother, I see this. And to have that in my life, man, the close friends I have are the ones that they truly keep me on track. And this is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I challenge you to seek the Lord, seek to be filled. And be careful, though. Be careful and keep walking. We're going to finish in worship. Praise the Lord. It's good news. It's good news.
Bonnie, we're just going to go back to I Give Thanks. Would you stand with us? We're just going to sing a couple songs in closing and worship to the Lord. You have shown me favor unending. You have given your life for me. When my heart knows of your goodness, your blood has covered me. I will arise and give thanks to you, Lord my God, and your name I will bless with my whole heart. You have shown mercy, you have shown mercy to me. I give thanks to you, Lord. You have poured out your healing upon us. You have set the captives free. And we know it's not what we've done, but by your hand alone. We will arise and give thanks to you, Lord our God, and your name we will bless with our whole hearts. You have shown mercy, you have shown mercy to us. We give thanks to you, Lord. We will arise, we will arise and give thanks to you, Lord our God, and your name we will bless with our whole hearts. You have shown mercy, you have shown mercy to us. We give thanks to you, Lord. You, O Lord, are the healer of my soul. You, O Lord, are the gracious Redeemer. You come to restore us again. We will arise and give thanks to you, Lord our God, and your name we will bless with our whole hearts. You have shown mercy, you have shown mercy to us. We give thanks to you, Lord. I believe in Jesus. I believe He is the Son of God. I believe He died and rose again. I believe He paid for us all. And I believe He's here now. standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive. I believe in Jesus. I believe He is the Son of God. I believe He died and rose again. I believe He paid for us all. And I believe He's here now. He's standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive. And I believe He is here now. He's standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to
just an announcement before you go. Dennis Kerr has offered to get the equipment to dig up that sidewall and the materials to fix it. So he asked that father here on Thursday morning at 9. And so if we get a few guys to come help out, come talk to Dennis or one of those pastors, and we'll somebody help putting out that vapor barrier, maybe tile or whatever, some of them know labor, and bring a shovel and can't get away from a little bit of the digging land. So
from the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing Your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and You know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, You are amazing, God.
Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow?
who imagined the sun and gives source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you call them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim.